Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to another episode of Early Work. This is the podcast in which I, Rhys James, ask my performer guest to read out some of the creative writing they did when they were younger. Ideally a teenager or something, whatever, it doesn't matter. Some people do it when they're 25. That's old people. We don't have many of them, but some old guests do that. If you've not listened to the podcast before, if this is your first time, go check out some previous ones. We had Lolly Adefope doing some fan fiction. She wrote about a TV show called Everwood. She had 10 chapters. It was ridiculous. It took forever. But it's a good podcast. And then we had Rose Matafeo. She did some spooky stories, and they were very spooky. And she was a child, actually, when she did that. John Kearns, he wrote a novel, or half a novel or something, gave it to a girl. She didn't like it. Go listen to those ones. But this one, we have got Tom Lucy, who has got some lyrics to read us from a very impressive couple of bands that he was in. So check it out. It's very funny, and it is very patriotic.
Naughty.
It is my absolute pleasure, nay, obligation, to introduce to you today's podcast guest, Little Tom Lucy.
Hello,
mate. Tom. To listeners, Tom Lucy is probably best known for having very recently been to the gym. And also, he's quite well known for doing a gig with me in Dubai once. That's probably, if you were thinking, who's Tom Lucy? Oh, he's that one. He's in an Instagram picture with Rhys at the Dubai Opera House.
My biggest credits.
It's your biggest credit.
There's a photo of us on a flight from London to Dubai.
It's a really good photo.
It's a good photo because, to tell the listeners, I didn't steal. I tried on the air stewardess's, what's the word?
Hat.
Hat?
Are you really reaching for the word hat?
Well, no, because it's not really a hat, is it? It's like a headdress.
Yeah, and it does seem, because it's an Emirates flight,
yeah,
it's quite a specific hat.
Mm.
And so other people on the plane were shouting cultural appropriation.
Yeah,
there was really, it was hostess appropriation.
Really, it was just me trying to ingratiate myself with the staff.
The community. It was a very empty flight, one of the best flights ever. We were really
good
spread
flight.
Out.
Good
but it
flight.
Was so empty that they came around, didn't they, the air hostesses,
mm-hmm.
with a Polaroid camera. Do you want your picture taken? You know, on a long haul flight,
like
when you're like, someone document this, will they?
Like
I look my
Disneyland.
Best.
Disneyland.
Yeah, and it turns out an absolutely fantastic photo.
Yeah, and I actually think going around and taking pictures of people on planes is a good idea.
But when it's full, that's a nightmare.
Nightmare when it's full. I'd have liked that
Boeing
picture on
737, you can't get through everyone on that.
On a keyring would have been nice.
It's now my WhatsApp photo.
No, it's not.
Just me, the crop of me in it.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was an excellent photo of me.
Oh, was it?
It's an undeniably
I know the photo. Yeah, yeah, that is a good photo of you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Now, Tom, if I had to guess what you were like at school, and I do because it's the first format part
okay.
of the show.
Okay, okay.
What I've written down here.
Yeah.
First of all, two words, little shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another sentence, which is also two words, back chat. Then I've put, attempting to show disregard for studies and the school system. I heard you on your podcast with Ed Gamble say that you just wouldn't do homework. So that's what that's based on. But then I put, but ultimately, the discipline of a military father saw you through towards the end.
Oh my God.
And that's there's some truth in that, is
yeah,
it? Well, hang on.
Yeah.
And then the last bit is, in the popular group, despite showing little to no sporting ability. Am I correct?
Wow. <that's>...
That does
really giving
more,
that a lot of thought.
It feels like more of an appraisal than the other episodes.
It does feel like, yeah, there's more negatives in that than the other ones I've heard you give people.
Interesting. I wonder why.
I think that is fairly true, yeah.
Did you think you were a bit of a little shit at school?
Yeah. Well, it depends who you spoke to be honest. I think the things I was interested in, I was quite good at, like drama, but everything else...
Were you then quiet in those sorts of lessons?
No, I was like incredibly needy and like I was a class clown basically in every
really?
Class.
A class clown.
Yeah, I know that's like quite an embarrassing thing to admit, but
it's a cliche question.
It's a cliche of a comedian.
People with our occupation get asked in interviews, and mostly the answers
yeah.
will know.
But that I would imagine you weren't, but I was.
Oh, I see. Oh, you've had a bit of negativity and you're throwing it back.
No. I think I sort of am ashamed of the fact that I was.
So what do you mean by class clown, though? Like, practically, what did that mean day to day? You were just cracking what? You were juggling? What? You were on a unicycle?
Yeah, I was juggling. I had one of those, like, hats that was an arrow through the head.
yeah.
I was just disruptive and wasn't really interested in anything that we were learning.
And did people, your classmates, find it funny?
Yeah. The teachers hated it, but I actually had one teacher who used to use me as an example to the other years that she taught, the years beneath me, to say, she used to use me as like a, if you don't work hard, you'll end up like Tom Lucy in the year yeah. above. So she actually used to use me as an example. So it wasn't great.
When you say, because you're relatively successful, and I use the term relatively in bold.
Yeah,
but
italic and bold.
When you say you'll end up like Tom Lucy, because that
yeah,
strike
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
what I'm looking at now, I think she's got a point. Mm. Now, for the listener, okay, I'm looking
I'll
at a man.
We're
that. In the throes of winter. It's freezing outside. Tom Lucy is wearing ankle socks with some Adidas running shoes,
yeah.
Some shorts, a Stand Up To Cancer t-shirt. That's commendable, but he did steal it. And he's wearing...
Yeah, it's not from a gig. It's stolen.
No, he nicked it. And a red beanie.
Yeah, but...
Very confusing outfit. And if I was shown a picture of you and told, careful, you'll end up like this, okay. I'd be like, fair play. I'm going to straighten up and fly right.
Okay, well, I can't argue with that much because that is exactly what I'm wearing.
But no, it's fine, you ran.
The point is that I ran here, Reese, and I knew I would get a stick from you for wearing shorts, but I put my health before your opinions.
But ultimately, what we've landed on is the fact that I was correct, right? Little
yeah, I
shit,
think
that's
mainly
class
correct.
Clown. Attempting to show disregard for studies in the school system.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at a parent's evening.
True, but... What about this bit? The discipline of a military father
yes.
saw you through in the end. How were your results in the end?
I actually got quite good results at the end.
Oh, and is it because you had to do 10 press-ups every morning?
Yes, and tuck my bed in. Sort of, I suppose. I mean, I sort of chose... I got quite bad GCSE results because that's when you have to do everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then A-level is when you can sort of choose what
Specialize.
You like.
Specialise.
So yeah. I did like media, drama and English... Which were like the two things I was most.
Mate, I'm so ready to take the piss out of you, and I also did all three of those topics.
Of course, you did.
I dropped media and did politics, but
so
you do four in year 12.
You do, and then you drop.
What
one,
was your
don't
fourth?
You?
So those are your three that you settled on.
No, I did. The fourth one was history, and then I dropped history, and then I just did
right.
English.
We had a very similar
drama
four,
and media,
and then I dropped media and.
But then the difference was that at that time I'd already started doing stand up. At school.
Mm.
You know this, right? My first gig was at my school.
Good God.
And I used to do stand-up like every week.
So literally the class clown.
In the school assembly.
Every week?
Yeah.
Topical stuff.
So
school-related material?
Yeah. So basically...
honestly, I don't know how I'm not being sick.
So basically, we had a Friday concert every week where anyone could get up.
Stop me there. What kind of school did you go to?
Well, I went to two different schools, but the sixth form school I went to was like a specific performing arts place.
Right. Oh,
yeah. So that's why we had this concert.
Dancing on the tables, like in High School Musical.
It was like Brit School, you know, like that place.
Okay.
It was like
so it was
that.
Like
it was like
Brit
a sister school for that.
What was it called?
Hurtwood. It's basically the same thing.
Private?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Right. That's all the only word I needed to hear all along to know that you do this Friday performance and no one's furious about it.
Okay. Well, that's the truth.
So you would get up.
So I would get up every Friday and I got up one Friday to do stand up in the Friday assembly and I wrote like 10 minutes of stuff about the school we were at and about teachers and about like just things that happened in the school. And then I did it. And it went so well, Reese. Honestly, it was like probably to this day one of the best gigs I've ever done.
Or anyone's ever done.
It was.
I think I heard about this actually.
Yeah.
I think people talk about this in comedy clubs around the country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you remember any of the sorts of jokes you would have said?
No, because they were all like specific about teachers that we had at the school. And so, yeah, so I had a really amazing gig. And then our headmaster said, do you want to just like do it every week?
So you'd one gig and then offered a residency.
And then I was resident.
That's unheard of.
It's unheard of, right? So then I was resident.
Clown.
For the school.
The school's
for
resident.
For about 6 months.
It's so much less of a class clown thing if you're employed as the class clown. That's court jester levels. It's like you're not actually funny. No.
It's just relative to
you're still
to
a company
else.
Man.
It's just exactly, yeah. But then I would go out of school to like gigs around London and try and do and it
how
would
so
be
how
horrible.
Soon after that first gig at school did you then go and do a gig
oh like the a month maybe
so oh, I was, really yeah. really got the taste for it immediately
yeah
and said the open mic scene must see this
when it wasn't quite like that
were there in some pub you're upstairs in the Queen's Head
yeah
going god that water fountain by the languages box so tricky isn't it sometimes it sprays up sometimes it hardly comes out I don't know where I stand with
it. Well this is the thing that the material about the school killed because it was like such a contained environment and you mention anything about anything and people have heard of and they just go wild and then when you go to a pub in Camden and you try and do stuff You know, it's like you get nothing.
How much did you? how much did you change it? Like, obviously, presumably, it's a brand new.
But yeah, it's completely different because it's not in a school anymore, is it? I can't go on and do jokes about Mr. Henderson.
Your first gig was essentially a corporate.
It was a corporate, yeah.
Free, for free. Mm. A corporate with progression.
And then I handed out prizes at the end.
Most improved, Tom Lucy.
So that was quite strange, really.
Was it hard turning over that material every week about like trying to find new angles on the school? Or did you do the same set every week?
No.
Same crowd, right? It's your
exactly
year.
The same crowd, yeah. The weird thing about it was that I didn't think it was an odd thing to do at the time. It didn't feel weird. But now, obviously, looking back on it and your reaction when I said it to you, it is an incredibly like precocious thing for a 16-year-old to want to do. But I didn't feel weird at the time. It didn't feel like, oh, this is an odd thing to be doing. Do you know what I mean?
Did anyone get upset if you were mocking teachers and stuff?
Yeah.
Did you ever get in trouble for going too far?
Yeah.
Did you ever?
This is why the teachers didn't like me.
Because you were exposing them. Is there anyone who had done anything dodgy that you then brought up
like
in a joke?
The John Oliver of our school.
You didn't do like a Hannibal Buress, Bill Cosby thing with one of the teachers, right? you didn't suddenly come in.
No, I didn't expose anyone to that level. No, not that I'm aware of.
But it was just mocking.
I just was mocking teachers.
And were you hailed by the other pupils as like some sort of comedy genius?
I sort of was a bit because it was like so, because the gig used to go so well. So then I sort of became this like the school comedian. It was
which is
really
actually,
weird.
Funnily enough, still your nickname. For the benefit of the listener, Tom is, what, you're 24?
23.
It's why it feels quite jarring to speak to you on a podcast called Early Work about the work you used to do when you were but a young lad, given you are a young lad now. I mean, I say this as someone who's 5 years older than you, but I've lived a life, you see?
Yeah.
You've always
struck me as being a lot older than me, even though you're only 5 years older. Oh, I think it's the way you talk down to me a lot. I mean, we are friends.
Shorts, mate. What do you expect?
Outside of this podcast, we should say that. We are mates.
So when you're at school, were you doing this sort of performance completely coincidentally that it came up and you did it one-off? Or was it like the very, I know you said you're a class clown, but was this influenced by a very cliche need for survival? I'm presuming like in like a, I'm not one of the rugby lads, so I need to be funny. I mean, I asked that question now knowing that you went to a performing arts school.
Yeah.
So I imagine it wasn't a means for survival, it was just a whatever.
No, because that school was a bit odd in the sense that, like, the cool kids at that school weren't rugby lads. They were, like, the lead in the musical.
Yeah. Did you go up for the parts in the musical?
No, I wasn't in the musicals. But that's why it was a bit of an odd school, because that they were, like, seen as the... But the school I was at before was normal, so yeah, that would have been the same.
Presumably, was there any kind of bullying at that school? Because the bullies, like...
You seemed quite...
it's very surprising to me that you weren't bullied. Okay, I find this very hard to believe.
The school I was at before, the sick form one, definitely was a different vibe.
That's like a cliche...
That was like a cliche high school.
Jocks.
Yeah, and that was very different for me. I was quite quiet, didn't really... It's like speak out, definitely wasn't in the cool set. So that would be a more traditional environment. And then when I was 16, I moved to this performing arts place. And then it was a bit better. But
it's all okay, fine.
But the school before,
very encouraging.
If you're desperate to hear that I was bullied, then yes, I was bullied in the school before.
Oh no. I was joking. I didn't actually want it to be true. Okay, I mean, bullying you now.
Yeah,
doesn't make me feel good. I thought it would make me feel good, actually, and it didn't. Were you ever doing anything?
So good lesson there.
That was
bullies everywhere.
That was yeah, fine. Eventually, you'll be doing podcasts together. Is that the message?
Mm-hmm.
You did the thing at school, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It wasn't. It wasn't,
I feel like. Do you know what this feels like? I feel like I'm on Newsnight, like defending something I've said. So talk us through. You were there. That's what it feels like.
Well, if you're going to turn up in a black turtleneck, mate, what do you expect? Okay, I've got questions.
Black turtleneck and Adidas shorts.
And a beanie, red beanie. It's a classic look. I've got to ask you this.
Okay.
You were doing that stuff at school. It wasn't technically part of school work.
No.
But it was still encouraged by your teacher, the head teacher.
It wasn't encouraged, but it was like allowed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you doing anything sort of at home? Other than stand-up, were you writing anything creative? Or even maybe at your old school? Were you being creative at your old school when you didn't have the opportunity in school to be creative?
I was always like very desperate to like have something that I was good at, right? So I went through like several different phases of my teens where I was sort of obsessed with one thing, and then it culminated in stand-up, and then that's what I settled on. But before that, I went through like a phase where I was really into magic.
Yeah, I did that.
So I was like really obsessed with like learning magic. I just wanted to.
What did
like,
you do? Buy kits?
Yeah,
or just cards? You had the kits with those
whatever
foam balls that
yeah
go
yes,
tiny and then come
yes,
out in your hand
I had the
and
foam
seem
balls.
Really
yeah,
impressive.
Yeah. So I was just sort of desperate for to be really good at something because I wasn't very good at academics or sports or anything. So I was trying to find something else.
And how many girls did you have to turn down when you were doing magic? I mean, it must have just been nonstop. Yeah. Because you know what chicks dig.
You know that girls love magic tricks.
It's
yeah.
long handkerchief, multicolored and tied together.
That's exactly it. If I had any advice to young men listening to this podcast, learn a magic trick.
Were you good at it? Did you have good sleight of hand?
No. I wasn't good at it at all. So that's why I ditched it and then moved on to something else.
Right.
So I went through that phase. I went through a music phase, and then I went through a comedy phase.
What was the music phase?
The music phase was like bands. I had a couple of bands. That was actually the first phase. I think I was like 10 or 11, and I was like trying to set up bands at my school, and then they all failed, and then I went into magic, and then I went into comedy.
Did you perform publicly?
Yeah, I mean, we did like a few gigs, but when I say gigs, I mean like... Gavin's mum's barbecue sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Is that a gig?
Depends. Is Gavin a stranger or a friend?
Gavin was one of the people in the band.
Oh, right. Yeah, doesn't count.
So that doesn't count. So we did gigs, yeah. Yeah.
What role did you play in these bands?
I was very much sort of the organiser. I was the one who was sort of trying...
That doesn't mean you're in a band.
No.
You're the manager.
I don't mean I was the manager.
At 10.
I mean that I was the one sort of like driving the whole thing to happen. If I wasn't there, the band wouldn't have happened. I was the one being like, guys, we need to practice. We need
to
do this.
This really is starting to feel like a Radio X podcast.
We need to do this.
Jesus Christ, chill out, mate.
I was that guy, yeah.
And you... But no, but in the band, you what? What did you play?
I played guitar. And I wrote the songs.
Oh, every aspect of the song, not just lyrics. You wrote the melody as well.
I wrote the lyrics and then I wrote the melody with another guy who's in the band.
Gavin, perhaps?
Not Gavin.
Fuck off, Gavin. All you've got is a venue. You're contributing nothing, Gavin.
Gavin was our agent. He used to book the gigs.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, and his mum had a lot of barbecues back then. what you got to remember, Reese, is this is the summer of 05. So
sorry, I apologize.
A lot of barbecues going on.
And did you play anyone else's barbecue except Gavin?
Oh, we didn't play any other barbecues. We did one gig at school assembly, and then we disbanded due to creative differences. And then I formed another band with...
Before you move on, what were those differences?
Well, I think somebody else wanted to stop. So, well, I was really the only one.
I don't think that's what creative differences
really,
means.
I was really,
someone doesn't want to. Sorry, you can't break up with someone in a relationship and say creative differences.
It's just creative.
One differences. Of us doesn't want to be together anymore. One of us wants to carry it on. It's just creative thing.
Very much a mutual.
No, you just one person didn't want to be in the band anymore, so you had to get a new band.
Well, as I said, I was the only one who was really holding it together. So people weren't as committed to it as I was. So I left that band and then formed another one and then...
Completely different people or
no,
were any of them the same?
No, me and the same writer from that one.
Because of the success rate, you didn't want to
because
drop
that. What we had was special, yeah. So we thought we can't, you know, we can't not write together, it'd be wrong. So we decided to set up another band and then we wrote songs for that. Up until
and whose barbecue did you play then? Because Gavin's mum's not
We had no
back.
Barbecues to play then, so we used to mainly just record songs in his bedroom... And then upload them onto LimeWire?
Upload them onto LimeWire.
Would
yeah, LimeWire wasn't that where you downloaded...
Or was that a download?
You downloaded
what was the,
from LimeWire
SoundCloud?
If you wanted to illegally get
MySpace?
Music.
No.
What was MySpace?
Would it have been MySpace?
MySpace would have been around.
Yeah. So we
definitely.
We used to upload songs
and
onto...
it was originally was like a music thing. That's how Lily Allen got famous.
Yeah, well, that's how we got famous as well.
Because of all the friends you had. Tom was in your top eight.
Yes, yes. So we used to... The second band I was in was more of a sort of studio band than a live band.
It's not a live experience.
It wasn't really
it's
a live
just listening
a live
experience.
Band.
Who? Okay. Who? What sort of music would you have been into at this age?
Oh, it would have been like bands. So it would have been like Busted. The Kooks. Who else was I into?
What's interesting is that you were 10.
Green Day.
I was 15 at this age.
Yeah.
So obviously they were the popular bands, so I was into all the same things.
Mm.
But for some reason, even as a 28-year-old adult, I do feel embarrassed to share the same influences as a 10-year-old. Even though I wasn't 10 at the time, I just... If so, I feel shame now.
I think
feel
our
shame.
Biggest influence was probably Green Day.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you have a kind of Green
American,
Day look about you?
American
not 10, surely.
Idiot. No, but we did want to... We had an idea once of shooting a music video similar to the one where they are playing... They're just playing live and then this big green paint thing explodes behind them.
I remember the
They're
video.
Just playing it and then behind them this big thing explodes and they're covered in green paint.
Yeah, it was extremely Get Him in the Gunge. There was a real Dave Benson Phillips plagiarism thing going on.
I think it was
there.
Directed by Dave Benson Phillips.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so he did get credited. Oh,
so we had an idea once to shoot a video like that, but the budget was...
When you say had an idea...
Well, I mean, we talked about it one evening.
You stole an idea.
We should shoot a video like that. But it never happened.
What kind of budget are these 10-year-olds expecting to have?
Well, nothing. We didn't have a budget, which is why we didn't do it.
You just said, we should do a video like that. No one thought about the practicalities of...
Nobody thought. We didn't have a manager, Reese, so we were all over the place.
You're meant to be the manager, man.
No, I wasn't. I was just sort of songwriter. I was sort of Gary Barlow of the group to this day.
What were these bands called? Can you remember?
Yes. The first band was called Empire, was, we thought, an all right name. We had an album called Defenders of Rock, which was a little presumptuous for four lads from Defenders, the south of England.
And was it, this is a rock band?
Well,
you
no.
say, was it is rock the word you'd use?
We thought it was a rock band, but looking back on it, no, it wasn't a rock band.
What was it looking back
a
on?
A children's band. And then the second one that we did was called Global Warning.
For fuck's sake.
Which we, I cannot tell you how excited we were when we came up with that
at
name.
At 10, to be fair, it's quite clever at 10.
Global warning, right? Yeah. No, we were about 13 by this point.
Right, then it's absolutely abhorrent.
Empire was 10. I think when I said creative differences, what I meant was we found out that there was a magazine called Empire.
Oh, so you realised the whole band must end. Disband, we can't just change the name.
It just disbanded from there.
How much sort of stuff were you turning over? What was the back catalogue of Global Warning like? How many songs did
you
write?
I don't remember it that much, but the guy who I used to write the songs with, he left the school at 13. And then creative differences with the school. And he went to another school somewhere else in the country. And I sort of lost touch with him. And then when you asked me to do this podcast...
You asked me, but yeah. When you go back to the podcast...
Not true. When you asked me to do this podcast, I want to get that on record. that's why I came from running.
We had a dropout last minute.
Dave Benson Phillips dropped out. So then I had to get back in touch with him to find these lyrics. So I just called him the other day and found out there's only one song from Empire that he found from the archives, and there's two Global Warning songs he found.
I think we'll do chronologically, shall we?
Yeah. Well, Empire would have been the first one.
Empire's the first. You're 10 years old. Defenders of Rock was the
album's
album.
Called Defenders of Rock.
How many songs are on that album?
I don't remember. Probably four. It's more of an EP than an album.
Called an EP.
Yeah, but what you got to remember
Empire
is this...
Empire Production.
This is 2005, Reese, so...
Right. Albums didn't change length.
Just keep that in mind, okay? It's the summer of 05.
So what's the song called?
The song that he's found, it's called 100% American.
And let me just clarify. Yeah. You were what, in Surrey?
This was written in a secondary school in Surrey, yeah.
Great.
I don't remember what the melody was.
I'm going to guess it's the exact same as at least one Green Day song.
Yeah, I think it probably would have been sung to the tune of American Idiot.
Yeah.
And Imagine Us Covered in Green Paint. But I can read you the lyrics.
Please do.
This is verse number one that I have no recollection of writing. Here we go. Okay. Driving down the highway, I'm a-feeling the wind. Riding down the byway, I'm a-feeling some chill. That's verse one. Okay. Right. What's weird about this is that we've written it in a sort of American-isk. So the next line is, the people are a-looking. So it's not the people are looking, it's the people are a-looking.
This is like, you sound like Mario.
Yeah, right. It's sort of similar to Mario.
Is that what the influence was? I know it's like more of a... Honky Tonk Parade
It's meant
to be Western.
Thing. A Western right? thing, yeah.
The people so the are peop- driving. The
people are looking.
So this is country and Western. This isn't...
No. This is the Defenders of Rock album.
Sorry, I apologise. Driving down the highway.
Driving down the highway, I'm a-feeling the wind. Riding down the byway, I'm a-feeling some chill. The people are a-looking, the doors are a-opening. We're 100% American. Yeah, we're 100% American. And then the chorus is, ooh, baby America. Ooh, baby America.
Fuck me.
That's the chorus.
It's like war propaganda.
It sort of makes no sense.
America, to just be... You're essentially chanting America.
It's essentially a war,
it's not,
a war chant, isn't
it's
it?
Not, it's not at all acceptable. It really turns, but...
The next verse is good, though. You'll like this.
I like it all already.
Walking in the bar, I'm a calling the shots. Not I'm calling the
words.
Shots. I'm a IMMA. I'm a calling the shots.
Is that a play on words about shots in a bar?
Wait for it.
Sorry.
Walking in the bar, I'm a calling the shots. Stacking up the bulls, I'm a taking the pots. Okay?
You've lost me.
So that could be
playing pool.
Snooker? Or could it be a metaphor for the Vietnam War?
Well, we don't be surprised based on the chorus.
We don't know. It's up for interpretation. The people are a-looking. The doors are a-opening. Yeah, we're 100% American. We're 100% American. And then back into, ooh, baby America. Ooh, baby America. That's all that comes back from
okay,
100% American.
We've got a bunch of questions.
Do you have notes?
Yeah.
Okay. Hit me with your notes.
Just remind me again. 10 years old.
Yeah. Well, I think, 10, 11, maybe. Right. Yeah.
And now...
Growing up in Dallas.
Give me the first word. You're 10 years old. Give me the first word.
Of the song?
Yeah.
Driving.
Right. And you're 10 years old. And the first word.
The first word of the song is driving.
And then it's down the highway. Had you been to America when you were 10 years old? No. Had anyone in the band been to America?
No.
No. 100% American, though. Driving down the highway, feeling the wind.
Driving down the highway, I'm a feeling the wind.
I'm a feeling the wind. The byway. Now, explain to me the byway.
I don't really know what a byway is. That's an American thing, right?
Is it?
I think it is. That's why it would have been in the song.
No. Don't present the song as factual.
This is a well-researched piece of text.
Byway. I mean, maybe I'm being thick. I'm not a driver myself.
Highway.
You were ever byway?
Do you not drive?
No, because I'm also 10.
Oh, wow.
But okay. I am American. Byway
is...
myself. A byway. To me, I think you just found something that rhymes.
Does producer Neil know what byway is? It's an American
bypass.
Word, I think.
On the bypass.
No, bypass is something else.
Well, I'm feeling a chill.
Yeah, riding down the byway.
Riding. Now, what are you riding?
The car.
That's what you say, isn't it? When you go on a long journey in a car.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ride my car around.
Yeah, but Reese, I'm trying to make the words rhyme. So I can't say sat in my car.
No, you've already done driving down the
highway.
Yeah,
driving down the highway, I'm a feeling the wind. Riding down the byway.
I'll accept it.
I'm a feeling some chill. Interestingly, they don't rhyme, but
the chill doesn't
wind
rhyme.
And chill don't
but
rhyme.
But byway and highway do. So
byway and highway.
And riding rhyme. And driving, sort of.
Sort of. The people are looking. The doors are opening.
Now, what does that mean? The doors are opening.
Well, what you've got... Okay. So I can see that you haven't got a creative bone in your body. We're in a car. We're going down the highway. We pull over. There's some sort of saloon on the side of the A3 in Guildford. We imagine that we boot open the door of the saloon. It's one of those like swinging doors.
Yeah.
We boot the doors open.
Very dangerous thing to do.
We go in.
Right back into you.
The people are looking. The doors are opening. We're 100% American. Yeah, we're 100. Imagine if you were a cowboy and you walked into Fleet Services. That's the sort of thing we're going for.
It's really nationalist, this song. The way you just
described
that
scene. It's making more sense now, though, isn't it?
You go into a saloon and the first thought you have is America first. We're 100% American.
I really don't know why we're so obsessed with America. It makes no sense.
And then remind me of some of the highlights from... the final verse.
Walking in the bar, I'm a calling the shots.
Of course, calling the
stacking
shots.
Stacking up the balls, I'm a taking the pots.
Now, I don't know if you've ever played any kind of ball
sport.
Game. Balls are not the right shape to be stacked.
No, but you do say stack up the balls if you've ever played pool.
Rack
before.
Up.
You can say rack or stack, I think.
You say rack. And you don't even lose the rhyme.
Okay, but what I could do is I could easily just change that to racking
up
the balls. All right,
balls.
But I'll change that. That's fine. Okay, I take that note on board. I agree with that.
Balls, we're walking
in the bar, I'm a calling the shots.
Now, that must have been a play on words.
Racking up the balls, I'm a taking the pot. That works.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word works, but it rhymes. 100% American. And would that have been the single from the EP/album? Main song.
That was the lead single, from the album.
How well received would that have been?
Pretty well received.
From your British crowd.
It went down quite well with far-right Americans.
Yeah. It's essentially a Trump speech, really. You've written a Trump speech.
I don't think this is actually that bad a song. I think it's just in the wrong place. I think if this was written in, like, Nashville and presented to a market out there, I think it could have flown.
But Gavin's mum's barbecue in Guildford
was not the place. They weren't going to start chanting, "Ooh, baby America."
No.
Which is what we envisioned. Was like, that would be like, you know, like a big sort of like crap stadium chant. "Ooh, baby America."
Thing is, it was a barbecue. Now that's a real Southern American vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of my mum's friends are racist. So.
Exactly. Just rename it a cookout and you're sorted. Now, global warning. I'm expecting something a little bit more mature.
Yeah, so
obviously, you've got past the creative differences, the American.
So
what you
can see quite clearly here is that we've evolved.
Great.
Our style has evolved. The lyrics are a bit more intricate. You know, global warning.
It's already a gag.
Yeah, it's already good.
What's
the first
song
that I found from the album? I can't remember what the album's called. Is the song is called "Madder, Hotter, Faster"? Okay, which sounds a little bit like a Daft Punk song.
Would that have been? Would it have been directly that in whatever year
I don't
was?
Know, because we weren't that influenced by Daft Punk.
Well, clearly. I mean, you've literally plagiarised. You've even used one of the words.
So what, I think the problem...
Wait, was it madder?
Madder, hotter, faster.
Faster's in the Daft Punk.
Stronger, better, faster. Was it faster, better, harder, stronger?
Something like that. So, but faster's definitely...
Yeah, no, it is. That, I think that might be what, that, where that's from.
Madder, hotter.
It's a sort of global warning. So it's songs about climate change.
What year was this?
Well, this, we're about 13, so 10 years ago. So 2010.
2010?
Yeah.
The Daft Punk song, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, came out in 2001.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's every chance.
I don't understand. Well, I don't,
you wouldn't have been directly...
You're trying to make it sound like I've ripped this off Daft Punk. Maybe I have.
It's 9 years late if you have, but that happens all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on then, let's hear it. Madder.
So the lyrics are a little bit more...
This is about global warming, this
sort of, yeah.
Is your band entirely based on songs about global warming?
Sort of.
Once again.
No, it wasn't.
Wrong
place,
wrong time.
No, it wasn't.
Smashed it now.
It wasn't, because the second song is about me. So...
Well, you are a threat to the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so I guess it is about global warming.
Madder, hotter,
you write
faster.
That down. Madder, hotter, faster.
Let's hear it.
How can a boy become a man? That's the first line. How can the earth become the sun? Makes no sense. What are we to do? Where are we to turn? Burning, burning, burning. The planet's burning, burning, burning. And then it says, brackets, drum solo. Non-specific drum solo there. What sort of heat burns my heart? I'm mad. I'm sad. Mankind can be so bad.
Oh, my God.
Madness is my vice. All is crumbling. Guitar solo.
Generous on the solos.
And then the ice caps. I think this might have been the chorus. This feels like the chorus.
It feels like a chorus that starts with the ice caps.
The ice caps are melting. Does no one care? The buildings are falling. Does no one care? My future is uncertain. Does no one care? It's madder, it's hotter, it's faster.
Pop, how dare you on the end of that, and you got yourself an award-winning UN speech.
I think that's actually something that you might hear, I don't know, Greta Thunberg do.
It sounds like a song, an Extinction Rebellion protest.
Yeah, I'm going to pop I Should Be at School at the end of it, and then that makes more sense.
Why are you talking about buildings falling?
That would have been a reference to 9/11, yeah. Which was a mere 9 years before this song was written.
What's that got to do with global warming?
Nothing. It's just about the world imploding.
Well, actually, hang on. That was caused by flights.
Yeah.
If we all stopped flying,
yeah,
there would have been no 9/11.
Right.
It's an environmental problem.
It's an environmental problem.
All along.
Yeah.
That's the environmentalist message.
It is.
Stop taking... internal flights.
Flight. A train wouldn't have done that.
Exactly.
Could have, maybe. No, it wouldn't.
It would be a lot harder.
Wouldn't have been
to
the same destruction.
Mad, sad, mankind can be so bad.
I'm mad, I'm sad, mankind can be so bad.
Drums.
Any questions?
Yeah, thousands of questions.
Okay.
What's the vibe? When you're singing it, like, I know you don't remember the melody. What sort of atmosphere is being created?
Oh, it's going to
be. With rage, or is it?
It's going to be like.
Sorrowful song?
I would imagine it's probably quite serious. You're at that age where you're sort of like desperate to be taken seriously. So I think that's where a lot of it comes from. That's what it sounds like anyway.
But were the person singing it was screaming or were they...
No. This would have been a light acoustic guitar underneath with the occasional drum solo, which in hindsight, I'd take out.
A drum solo, if you're saying it's like a light, sorrowful song, I'm imagining strumming a guitar, eyes closed. I can't imagine a drum solo.
Yeah, well, I agree. So in hindsight, we'll take that out. That's fine. We made the mistake of mistaking, the more complicated the lyric is, the better it is.
Oh, I don't know if you've heard this podcast before.
Yeah,
I have done that a lot.
Thinking about it, having read these back in the last few days, the best songs ever written are like incredibly simple and they don't use like complicated words.
Exactly. Crazy Frog, almost no lyrics.
Yeah, exactly.
Barely a word in it.
A great example.
And one of the best-selling songs of all time.
So, and I think the next song that we wrote really, if you think that was wordy and pretentious... We'd stepped it up another level.
Great. Well, we'll come
for
to
the
that.
Next one.
That can be your closing performance piece. That final.
Okay,
one.
You're gonna like the last one.
Before we get there, I have to score you.
Okay.
On three different categories.
Okay.
Now the first is originality.
Attractiveness. Oh, sorry.
Score you out of five. You know that would be a five every time. Originality. Given that you have told me that you essentially plagiarized Green Day, you've got to lose a point. But Global Warning,
that seems a little harsh.
Age 13, and also Daft Punk with the Madder, Hotter, Faster. I don't know, though. There's some stuff in there I wouldn't expect to hear. I mean, it's really surprising in the context of you're 10 years old, 100% American, this propaganda thing you're peddling. It's really baffling to me that you did this. So I'm going to give you 4 out of 5 for that.
What? Oh, out of 5? Well, that's
4
okay.
out of 5 for that, yeah.
Right.
And then,
I thought it was out of 10.
Pure teen horniness is the next category.
Pure teen horniness.
Now, you're only a teen in the second song, and I would say it's the least sexually
Yeah, no,
song I've
that's
ever heard
not a
life.
Sexual song at all.
Well, Madder, Hotter, Faster, I thought, here we go.
We're in. Yeah.
This is about to be some saucy stuff. But then it's all about the goddamn planet. Ugh, boring. So there's almost no horniness whatsoever. So,
yeah, you're right.
I'm going to go for a 1.
There might be some horniness in there.
Give you a 1. And then the final category is the Mickey Mouse Club / Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score, which is how close is this to your work now? How much does it represent? What potential does it show for who you've gone on to become?
I don't want to hear the answer
and
to this.
And as the nation's foremost environmental protester, I have to say it's a 5 out of 5. You go to America sometimes.
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
You think you're a bit American.
Do I?
I 100% American. You wouldn't say that now, but you'd say maybe, I'm 30% American. You'd say something like that.
What have I ever said to you that would give across that I think I'm American? That makes no sense.
You got a vibe about you. Like,
in what way have I got a vibe?
40%
American. I think I'm American.
No, okay. It doesn't really
represent. Because I occasionally wear gym wear
it
to a podcast.
Doesn't really.
That
yeah.
is quite an American thing
to do. I jogged here. Sorry, but I jogged here.
That is quite an American thing to do. They wear a lot of leisure wear, don't they?
Exactly.
But so do you.
You've got a real American. No, I don't.
You wear like a lot of leisure wear.
What leisure wear?
Like tracksuit tops and.
I happen to be wearing a tracksuit top right
now.
But with smart trousers.
A lot, yeah. Okay. All right.
Now.
Yeah.
I don't really think it does represent. There's a little gag in there. You got a little pun in there,
yeah.
in the title, and then you got the call the shots. You don't really do that kind of stuff now. So again,
I don't do a lot of rhyming puns now. Maybe I should.
I'll give it a 2.
A 2
out of 5. A 2 for
yeah. That's why I was annoyed.
Why? Because it's too high.
Because it's too low.
Well, so you want me to say that represents who you are now?
No.
Right.
I misunderstood the question.
So it's a 7 out of 15.
I just don't like being graded low on anything.
7 out of 15 is what you score for that. But you might be quite happy with that because some of those play in your favour.
Yeah,
now,
to level the
playing field, I now have to read you something of mine.
Okay.
Now,
is this something you wrote recently?
More recently than you wrote yours.
Yeah.
I've got 2 things. So when you, in advance, I said, do you have any early work? And you said, I used to be in this band.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to come in with lyrics. So I just searched lyrics in my big folder of...
Oh no, have you got like a folder?
Disgrace. So
is it called writing, the folder?
It's called the main folder is called old laptop.
Okay.
And then there's a little subfolder called poetry. And then there's 3 folders in that which are shit ones, silly ones, actually good ones. Now, if I was readjusting that, then we'll go into shit ones.
Yeah.
They're all
okay.
And I've already gone through.
You actually still do poems though, right?
I've already gone through a load of them. Not anymore, mate. This is some lyrics.
Okay. That you wrote for a band or just for you?
No, I just wrote the... I just searched lyrics and this is what came up.
Okay.
It's a different genre. I'm not a defender of rock. And also, you can tell...
What is it? Electro?
Before I go into this, you can tell. I am joking. Don't pull this now.
Okay.
Ready? I MC faster than you can ever ask for. Mm. I fly past you before you even find your passport. I try harder than a father on a dance floor. I bypass you like a heart I wouldn't die for. Ultimately, we go to see my alter ego, who isn't some white middle-class bambino, coming on the scene with a routine that we know, with Hennessy, a menace, like I'm Dennis in the Beano. And no, sir, I haven't got 3 bags full. Call it swag, but I've only got these handfuls. And I'm thankful of the rhythm that I'm given, driven because I've got a chauffeur now that I'm riding with them. Sitting in a haze, I'm in a post-coital malaise with a beautiful girl that I just phased, and she's whispering all my days, and she's whispering all my days.
Wow. Okay.
Now, do me a favour, Tom. Whisper all my days for me.
All my days. All my days.
Now, just to clarify,
at the time of writing this, I was yet to have sex in my life.
Oh, so it was quite recently.
Yeah, it's literally this morning. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, lots. I would say, you know, like those sort of fire in the booth.
It is as good as fire in the booth.
Is that what you were writing it for? One day you might get asked to do a fire in the booth.
It would have been like MC faster than you can ever ask for. Fly past you before you even find your passport.
Right.
I don't know what that means. Is that a brag?
I feel like you might have at one stage in your career like rapped on stage.
I've not rapped on stage.
Have you not?
No.
I feel like
I've done poems on stage, which some people say are better than rap, and they're right.
So that's like a slowed down rap, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a rap if you're uncomfortable with
rapping,
sticking to a beat.
So would you have ever delivered that anywhere?
No, God no. I don't feel comfortable having just done it to you.
No,
there.
You've just delivered.
I tell you what I would have done. I tell you what 100% I would have done.
Yeah.
And thank God all these files are gone.
Yeah.
Because I would have, knowing that I want this podcast to be listened to, I would have had to play this. 100% I recorded this on like a GarageBand type program with something under it.
With a beat underneath it.
And like I made like a tune on EJ, probably it was called.
Well, how old were you when you were doing this?
I think I wrote this about 16 or 17.
Can I ask you a question? Why? Did you have an interest in becoming a rapper or?
No.
Beat poet, maybe?
Well, I did do that on stage for a bit.
Beat poetry.
I don't know why.
Is beat poetry it's just like doing poems to a beat, right?
Not quite. It's more like just putting rhythm in poems. Essentially, it's just poems with pauses.
Because when you say beat poem, I think of like Greenwich Village in the 60s.
Yeah.
In like a cafe. In
right,
the corner.
Smoky, like
yeah,
jazzy.
That's when you say beat poet. But are there still beat poets around?
No,
now?
Isn't beat poetry more like the cat sat on the mat?
Yeah,
that wasn't great.
Are you reading this again from your folder?
Yeah, I was 19. And then I'll read you another one because this also had lyrics in it, even though this has nothing to do with lyrics.
Okay, yeah, okay.
The first line's in quotes, and the rest of it's just normal.
Okay.
Now this, the reason I think this says lyrics is because you can clearly see the sort of thing I'm influenced by.
Okay.
It's very short. This.
Good. Okay.
Love's a temptation that no true man can resist. All in the eyes of a chip shop Casanova or a man on the list. Promise you this with a cheap blown kiss and a dangerous fist. Just a wink and a tickle. He'll grant you one wish if you get in the gist. Romance long live for its glory serene, but don't catch his drift if you don't know where it's been.
I think that's... I prefer that to the first one,
yeah,
if I'm honest.
Better, That's like... Phrases like chip shop Casanova.
It's
such an Arctic, early Arctic Monkeys, Mike Skinner type, like...
I feel like you could get a job, like, co-writing on an Ed Sheeran album or something. Because it's quite similar sort of raps to that, isn't it?
Don't catch a drift if you don't know where it's been. I'm not against that.
Don't catch a what? Don't catch a drift.
Don't catch his drift if you don't know where it's been.
Don't catch his drift if you don't know where it's been. It's all right, but there's no references to America in it. You know what I would prefer?
They don't have chip shops in America. It's very British.
Yeah, change chips up to diner.
All in the eyes of a diner Casanova or a man on the list. Are you happy with that as a line?
List. Register.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm getting at. I do think that's what I'm getting at, which makes it quite dark.
Yeah. You could rhyme diner with China. Famously, America and China have got issues.
Exactly the sort of racism I expect from a man
in a red
beanie. Writes a song called 100% America and culturally appropriates Emirates airline hats.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom, I need you to score me on the same categories. Number one, originality.
Out of five, I would say I've heard things like that before. Mike Skinner, Ed Sheeran.
What about the first one?
Early Ed Sheeran to an extent.
What about the MC one?
I think if you gave me half an hour, I could write something pretty similar.
Yeah,
so
I don't think you need half an hour.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Your teen horniness?
Pretty high.
What do you think?
It's obviously written by a man who's got issues sexually. So
don't quote my reviews now.
So I'm going to say 4.5. Can I give you halves? I'll just say 5. Just give it 5.
All right.
Okay, 5. And then what was the last category?
Mickey Mouse Club, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score. What potential does it show for who I've got on to become?
Pretty high, 5.
Fuck you.
Yeah, pretty high.
13, I win. 13 out of 15.
What do we win?
And, well, we both lose. The message is we're both losers.
We're both losers.
We're both
losers. Ticket to Gab's Mom's Barbecue.
Yes, please. Now, if you wouldn't mind.
Finishing
it's
us
now
off.
Your time to... All right, pure teen horniness has just gone through the roof. You're going to say phrases like that? You are a teenager. I need you to finish us off with your final performance of... And it is a performance.
Okay.
Of this song.
Do you want me to just read it without interruptions?
What's this song called? Yeah, no interruptions. And really give it some. Really, imagine you're 100% American.
You're going to
really want to sell it. Like at 100% American.
The title of this song.
Go ahead.
This song is by Global Warning, and it's called Son of a Soldier Man.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Because
and you were.
Anyone who knows me will know that I have a military dad.
Your mum is a soldier.
My mum is a soldier. And also, the thing we were saying about lyrics being too complicated, this is definitely an example of that. I think I was sort of trying to make it sound as dramatic and complicated as
before
possible.
Before you start, you can't remember the tune.
No.
Please sing it to the tune of Son of a Preacher Man.
Oh, it's very similar to Son of a Preacher Man, isn't it? That's clearly where I got the name from. I just realised that. Okay, I'll read the whole thing out without any interruptions. Okay. Surrender your firstborn. Don't look at me with scorn. There's dust in the depths of my soul. I'm the son of a soldier man. An arrow through my mother's side. Wartime takes me for a ride. I'm the son of a soldier man. Fear and nerves, they want me to fight, but I will not bite. I'm the son of a soldier man. Break me, shake me, but do not take me to war with you. I'm the son of a soldier man. That's all I've got.
Wow, absolutely incredible. I can't wait to hear whatever production is put on the, on the end of that.
Are you going to put a beat underneath
Don't
that?
Even put a beat. I think just put gunshots. Actually, no, it's arrows, isn't it?
Yeah.
I liked when you said there's an arrow through your mum's side because all I could think of was you as the class clown and it's a trick arrow that you just put on to get a laugh. Son of a soldier man, but my mum's a laugh.
Also make it clear that I'm talking about the Vietnam War here and I very much fight for the Americans.
Yeah,
100%.
So if you, are going to put some music underneath it, can you make it sort of...
Extremely patriotic.
Vietnam playlist, American
music. Well, no, because it's a war fought with arrows.
No, that's a metaphor, isn't it, for...
No, it's just false information. That's not what a metaphor is.
An arrow through my mother's side. It's an emotional arrow.
Through in her side. So it's not that bothered. It's not crucial.
It's not fatal. But it's going to put her out of action for a few months.
Absolutely wonderful. Global Warning, Empire.
Isn't that...
100% America.
And just the most unnecessary first line of a song. Surrender your firstborn.
Are you the firstborn?
Yeah. For a 13-year-old to write that. Surrender your firstborn.
Where are you getting that from? The Bible?
I don't know.
Really influenced by the Bible at 13?
Yeah, I was pretty into the Bible.
And that's where you got Madder, Hotter, Faster from as well. Tom Lucy, thank you so much for coming on
the
podcast.
Are you going to not rate that?
No, I don't rate that. As in, I don't rate it. Shit, 0-0-0. No, I don't score that. I've already done the scoring. That's just your opportunity to give a big performance.
And then we put a thing, we beat underneath it.
Yeah. There'll be something underneath it.
Fun.
Congratulations. Okay. Are you happy with yourself?
Yeah. Well, if you want to keep up to date with me, I'll be hosting a rally in Houston Parkway on March 12th.
Thank you very much. There you go. That was it. Little tiny Tom Lucy on the podcast with his horrible, horrible lyrics from his horrible, horrible bands. If you want to see anything more from Tom Lucy, why would you? Then go on at Tom Lucy on Twitter. Or at Tom James Lucy, which I believe is the full name. I thought there'd be more double-barrel stuff in that. Private school in Surrey, military father. That's what it is on Instagram. Go check him out. Or just go on the Republican Party website. I'm sure he's on there. He's into that sort of thing. As ever, I'm on tour. If you want tickets, then go on reesejames.co.uk and follow me, follow the podcast. And if you've got any early work you want me to read, I might read it out eventually. Email earlyworkpodcast@gmail.com. I have been sent some stuff already and I've read it, but all of it is shit and I don't want to read it out. No, that's not the truth, but everyone keeps sending me schoolwork and crucially, it must not be schoolwork. It needs to be your personal creative endeavours that have nothing to do with that. As ever, subscribe to the podcast, of course, it's very helpful, and leave a review, 5 stars minimum. It all helps, but not 4 stars. As I say, it's not 4 stars. Other than that, I'll see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.